Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome to Good Things Radio. Hello, and welcome to episode number 66. Thank you for being a part of the show. My name is Brooke Taylor, and coming up on the program today, a truly unforgettable message from Catherine. Underlined exclamation point. I cannot wait for you to hear her story. It is for you. If you have been in the slightest bit discouraged, frustrated, you will hear her story, and I believe will be renewed with a new hope. And I think that's a Star Wars title, actually, one of the movies, but that's what it's going to be like. She is the wise Yoda as we battle the dark side, and I cannot wait for you to hear her story. Also, a lot of feedback. Thank you. From the last episode, you really stepped up. Fantastic words about especially the Christian vote piece that we played in episode number 65. Some of your reactions to that. Also, from episode 64, we had Father Nathan talk a little bit about profanity. We got some feedback about that. So a little bit of everything. And Father Nathan is back with another Padre in your pocket. This time, he's going to talk about the power of holy water. And we also have a little quick book review. So a lot to pack into this program today. And I do have a quick programming note for you. We are getting ready to go on a pilgrimage to southern Italy, which the trip itself is going to be about 2 weeks. And that could be an entire subtopic of the program today, all of the emotions wrapped up into preparing for a trip like that. But because of that journey, there's going to be a little break between shows. So after this episode, we'll be back again probably around the week of August 21st, because we return around that time. It stinks, actually, though, because there's so much to talk about, from the suggestion from Tracy recently, where she had the great idea of a topic, praying with our children for their future spouses, to going gluten-free, which is something that we recently started, as especially for my daughter, but as a family. And if you are a Facebook friend, you know all about this already, but it is such a kind of overwhelming journey to go into. But I would love to hear your thoughts on that too. Depression, that's also another topic that we haven't really been able to dig into. So we're going to have a little bit of a break, but when we come back, trust me, there's going to be so much packed in. And I just want to thank you for your patience and your understanding. And the good news is, even though there'll be a little lull in the podcast, you can still engage, check out, and be a part of the YouTube channel. It's just a little channel. It's Brooke Taylor and the number 9. But if you subscribe to it, you will see every day on the trip an update with video, a vlog of our pilgrimage. And I personally, I love the Travel Channel. I love Samantha Brown, watching her. And for me, you know, Anthony Bourdain, all those shows. And so clearly, it's not going to be that level. But because it's a spiritual pilgrimage, it, I think, will lend itself to a richness that will tell a story in and of itself. Now, granted, there are a lot of places when you go in, you can't have cameras, and I'm not going to break that rule because I don't want to be the one to do that. But I know that through the tour guides, through the stops that we'll have, you can be a part of that as well. And I, in all the ways that I love these travel channels, wish that they would cover more topics like that, these holy sites around the world. So we are going to be in Sorrento, in Pompeii, in Capri, in Catania, also then culminating in Rome, and lots of stops along the way. So if you want to be kind of along with us for the ride, you can check it out. It's Brooke Taylor and the number 9. And you'll see in that, like, I've got a lot of random videos on there, from coloring my hair to library hauls, but also the past trip we took a few years ago to Rome. And you kind of get the idea. They're short, they're very plain and basic and low budget, just the iPhone. But at that time, I had actually had a sponsor, so I needed to do it every day. And what I realized was, I was so glad that I was kind of forced at the end of the night, when I was tired and we had the kids with us, to put those videos together, because it's just like the pictures. I think you can have hundreds, sometimes thousands of pictures, because they're digital now, and they never really get into a scrapbook or an organized thing. So that's what I think is good about that. It kind of forces me at the end of the the day to recollect, put these videos together, and then be able to look back and have a record. So that's my grand plan. Now, if it'll actually happen and we have Wi-Fi and everything works, I don't know, but I'm hoping we will. And you can check it out again. It's Brooke Taylor and the number 9. And as we jump into the show, of course, we will begin in prayer. And of prayer, St. John Vianney said, "Through prayer, we receive a foretaste of heaven, and something of paradise comes down upon us. Prayer never leaves us without sweetness. It's honey that flows into the souls and makes all things sweet. When we pray properly, sorrows disappear like snow before the sun." Amen. And the actual prayer today is brief. It's just from my Thomas Merton Book of Hours, Daytime Prayer, the Collect. It says, "Beloved Spirit, you are all the prudence and the power that change our dust and nothing into fields and fruits. Enfold our lives forever in the compass of your peaceful hills." Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said the mail.
This is Chaya. I just wanted to thank you so much for all you do and for taking the time to make and do Good Things Radio. I really appreciate it. I know so many of us do. It's such a quality podcast, and I listen to it more than once every week, and I get something new from it every time. So thank you so much. And also, on the topic of swearing, I'm a high school teacher, and so sometimes my students, even at a Catholic high school, will take the Lord's name in vain, and they'll say, "Jesus," sometimes, and I will always say, "Loves you." And usually it happens during a quiz or test. And so it's a little reminder that Jesus loves them and they should love Jesus back. And they always smile at me because they know. So anyway, hope you have a wonderful day. Good luck with everything going on, and you are in our prayers.
Thank you, Chaya. Wow. I mean, what, first of all, a creative way to bless your students through stealth evangelization. That's really what it is, because you have such a warm-hearted way of reminding them that they are loved, that they are children of God, and that His name is holy. So thank you. Great idea, by the way. And Chaya, brilliant, beautiful physicist, runner, wife, mom, living in California. So grateful for your friendship and being a good friend of the show, a Podbean patron too. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chaya. And she left that feedback via Voxer. Easy to find, easy to do. I love that, because your voice then is part of the show. And you can find me on there at Brooke Taylor and the number 1.
Hey, Brooke, it's Brandy. I am just, responding to your last podcast, which was fantastic, by the way, very thought-provoking. I wanted to let you know that I think about this situation with the Christian voting and conscience and everything, and I'm really torn, because I think that the worst thing we can do for our country is to pull away from engaging in government, in the political scene, whether it's voting or running for office or trying to make a difference in a positive way. I do believe very strongly that we, the church here on earth, is the body of Christ, and that we're called to act on His behalf here and to spread His love and reinforce His living word. So I think that, there's a very fine line between not voting your conscience and having to pick a candidate for office who is the best candidate for the job who's going to be running versus not voting for somebody at all. And I really think that's the wrong thing to do. I also had a reaction when the Hobby Lobby guy, who, by the way, I highly respect, says something about Trump having multiple wives or having multiple marriages, which, does not align with my point of view from a religious perspective. But I believe also that we have to be very careful about judging other people, and we need to ensure that that's not, we're not going to find a perfect person to run for office who's never sinned. Those are very visible sins. Yes, I get it. But is he the best choice that we have presented to us in an election year? And then what are we going to do to help drive the Christian lifestyle back into our country? I think that's really where we have to go as a Christian community in the United States. I'd love to have a conversation further on this, but hopefully you get this message. And thanks a lot for the great podcast. Loved hearing different perspectives, and also really to encourage people to talk about this subject. It's really important. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, beautiful Brandy, global engineer, amazing wife and mom, and a lot of food for thought with that. I think your reactions were spot on, first of all, Brandy. I, like you, I really respect David Green, the founder of Hobby Lobby, and I agree with your insight there. And if you go back and listen to that piece, if you didn't hear it, you can catch it in episode number 65, and it was called The Drama of Conscience. It's a 5-minute piece that ran here in our market in Cleveland for the RNC, and just a lot to contemplate, but some really great emails. And also from feedback@goodthingsradio.com, we received this from Chris. She said, "Dear Brooke, I just finished listening to this week's podcast regarding the struggle many of us are having about this year's presidential election. I think this election has really exposed the disconnect that our elected leaders have with the citizens of this country. The elites of both parties think they know what's best for us, and that makes me angry. At this point, my Republican husband cannot bring himself to vote at all this year. I feel that by not voting, you are voting for Hillary. As a mom, I'm thinking about my kids' future. What does it matter if my kids have a good job if they have to worry about being blown up every day on their way to work? Surely in the next 4 years, there will be vacated spots on the Supreme Court. Donald Trump has said he will nominate pro-life conservatives to the court. If Hillary becomes president, she will nominate progressive liberals to the court. Decades of progressive liberal judicial leadership will finish off the destruction of this country. It is for this primary reason I will probably vote for Trump. But I will continue to pray and ask for wisdom. I have to put my faith in God and trust in what no matter what happens, He will take care of me and my family. I just started listening to your podcast a few weeks ago. I enjoy listening as I get ready for my day. God bless you, Chris C." Wow. Well, thank you, Chris. You deserve a celebratory salutation. Thank you. Thank you for that. And again, it's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. It's an easy way that you can be a part of the show and chime in. Once again, it's Brooke Taylor and the number one. I love, again, all of your insights. And I was having a really, I'll just say it, dejected moment when I was at work and the news came down that Tim Kaine would be the running mate for Hillary Clinton. And in the biography that was quickly shared by AP, the Newswire, it talked about how good his Spanish is, even more than fellow Hispanic politicians, because of the time he spent as a Jesuit missionary and how important his Catholic faith is. And then in the next one right after that, it said 100% said 100% Planned Parenthood, 100% NARAL, and all of the things that are actually completely contrary to the Catholic faith. And once again, like Joe Biden and so many of these politicians, Nancy Pelosi, and the list goes on, they're Catholic, but not voting in accordance to church teaching. And I know there are many people listening, and I have had the privilege of engaging in really beautiful, although very different conversations with people that I know that are socialists, that are progressive, that are pro-life Democrats. And I have to say I've been encouraged by the conversation because of the willingness to be open and listen. Because at the end of the day, I think everyone to a certain degree is dissatisfied. And that dissatisfaction has actually united us, believe it or not. But I left a message for Father Nathan and honestly was in tears. There were a few other things that were going on that just made me really feel sad for the church, sad for Jesus, and feeling like it was grieving his heart. And Father Nathan left the most beautiful message. And he said, "Remember the book of Revelation. Remember the victory is ours. And even on the cross, Jesus was not overcome. He was never overcome. He never will be overcome. And as we suffer, we enter into the passion of Christ himself. We pray for our children. We love our nation." And he had such a, and someone who is, he is very engaged. He is very much the new evangelization of going out into the marketplace and sharing the truth, but also that spirit of withdrawing and focusing. He said, "You need to go to adoration. When you have the cacophony of the world disturbing your peace, you need to go before the Blessed Sacrament and just adore the Lord and allow the world to fall away. Soar on wings like eagles. Go out to the desert as Jesus did when he needed to be with the Father and just focus on that." And the message alone was like a mini adoration, although I need to go before the Blessed Sacrament, of course. But I just wanted to share that with you too, because if there's anyone else listening feeling the same way, That was like a big exhale and a reminder. And it doesn't matter whatever side you're on, that still remains the truth. And that's the beauty of it. It surpasses all politics. And speaking of beauty and faith, I am so excited to share the motherload of all feedback. And it's a story that is a little lengthy, but it is so worth your time. So whatever you're doing, I just encourage you to turn your headphones up. If you can, soak up the words of this amazing story. It comes as no surprise, probably, when I tell you that by the end of the story, I was in tears because I feel like I'm always crying, but it was good. And it just left me with a sense of hope. So it's from one of our listeners. Her name is Catherine, another brilliant woman, very accomplished in her life, her career with her family, very thoughtful, very spiritually. But she shared something about a journey of faith that has intertwined with Good Things Radio, with you. And I want to share it with you now, and it will be probably something I know I'll carry for the rest of my life, and I hope that you are blessed by it also. So check it out. This is listener Catherine.
Hi, Brooke. This is Catherine from Hudson, and I just wanted to let you and Father Nathan know what an impact that your ministry is having on me and my faith. I'm so grateful to the two of you. Your ministry is really helping me to discover the beauty of the Catholic faith. So be prepared for a long story here. And I don't expect a response, but I just need to get something off my chest to someone, anyone at this point, kind of feeling a little bit alone on this new path. And so besides your podcast, I've been listening to a lot of other Catholic podcasts that I've come across on Breadbox Media, and I've also been reading a lot of books and studying the scriptures using the Magnificat, and also I have been watching the EWTN network, and specifically the several episodes of The Journey Home with Marcus Grodi, and I ordered my first rosary via Etsy from a crafter in Arkansas. I thought maybe I'd start praying the rosary because I'm really feeling drawn to the Catholic faith and have been for quite some time. I'm being fed. My mind is being blown. Old paradigms about the Catholic faith are being shattered. I'm excited. I'm scared. I'm exhilarated. But I don't really have anyone right now to share all of this with. So a little bit about my background. As you know, I am a lifelong Protestant, but I have become quite disillusioned with the Protestant church of late, the past decade or two. There have been so many changes, and the theology has veered so far away from the scriptures. I never imagined that the world, this culture, our country, the American psyche, would change so dramatically as it has in this past decade. My husband is a former Catholic. He left the church at 15, but something surprising happened when he had a hospitalization a couple of years ago. I was surprised when the registrant asked him what religion that he would like listed, and he claimed to be a Catholic. So never in all our years of marriage has he made that claim. I had offered several times through the years to convert to Catholicism so that we could have a spiritually unified marriage and family. Our three children are now grown, but he was not interested at the time. Now that we are empty nesters, I believe that he may be somewhat more open to exploring the possibility of returning to the church. He only darkened the door of a Protestant church long enough to marry me. Even though he believes in God, this post-Vatican II defector just hasn't felt that he needs a building in which to worship his maker. I, on the other hand, as a little girl, I remember watching the movie The Miracle of Fatima. That's a really old movie. That film made quite an impact on me when I was like 6 or 7 years old. And I never forgot it. I started kneeling when I said my prayers and crossing myself when no one was around. Yet my grandmother was a Christian Scientist and my parents were Congregationalists. And I was taught to fear, yes, fear the Catholic Church. I was taught that the Catholic Church was foreign and fanatical. And I was told by Christian scientists in my church that nuns placed a curse on our church as they walked by. I was taught Christian Science was the truth, the only truth, and that Mary Baker Eddy was the only Mary worth venerating. Mary Baker Eddy was the founder of that religion back in the middle 1800s. So through my teen years, I followed in my grandmother's footsteps and became a student of Christian Science until I had an illness and found Christian Science treatment to be less effective than medical treatment. I had been warned by Christian scientists not to marry a Catholic, and I certainly am grateful that I didn't listen to that advice, because I have been happily married to my husband, Steve, for 40 years now. I ended up raising our children in a Methodist church and later a Presbyterian church in Orlando, Florida, and there I found a comfortable home, a balanced, well-reasoned theology, in John Wesley and E. Stanley Jones and Paul Tillich, a safe place, theologically speaking, where I could recover from a toxic theology that caused the premature death of my grandmother, my aunt, several friends, and the suffering of others. During that time, I attended Audire in Winter Park, Florida. It's a school for spiritual direction at the San Pedro Catholic Retreat Center there in Winter Park. And I was introduced to the beauty of the liturgy, ritual, and tradition of the Catholic faith. I loved those retreat weekends. It was just the immersion experience that I needed into the faith tradition that I was taught to fear. A couple of years later, I ended up getting my master's degree at Rollins College, and my concentration was in religious studies. I actually wrote my master's thesis on the history of heaven, hell, and purgatory from antiquity through the Middle Ages. Now that opened my eyes to the Catholic Church as the first church, the original church, that is still living and viable. Upon moving back home to the Cleveland area in 2003, I started attending the local Methodist church. But the experience of attending worship felt more like a weekly social event there. As I'm sure you know, Methodism and other mainline denominations is really veering further and further from its theological and spiritual center by conforming to this secular culture. And I cannot stand around to watch its continued decline. For the past decade, I have been attending an evangelical megachurch in my community, thinking, well, maybe that was the answer. Services there are electric with emotion, but completely void of church tradition. The role of the congregation is that of spectators in a dark auditorium, with the preacher and performers on a stage heavily lit like a rock concert. God forbid the electricity should go out. Dry ice and props, rather than the body and blood of Christ, add to the effect. Although the scriptures are taught, I miss the liturgy and lectionary of traditional worship. I miss a cross anywhere in the building. I crave an avenue for reconciliation, a blessing of which I have never been privy. The more I study the scriptures through the lens of such great thinkers as Thomas Aquinas and C.S. Lewis and Scott and Kimberly Hahn and Bishop Robert Barron and others, the more episodes of Good Things Radio that I listen to and episodes of The Journey Home that I watch, the clearer it is becoming that my old paradigms of the Catholic Church are undergoing what I would call a major shift. I am seeking the Lord's will in all of this. It's scary. It's exciting. I've been attending Mass for the last 2 months, but I am feeling alone at this point. Literally all of my friends are evangelicals, except for our next door neighbors. And I have signed up for RCIA in the fall, and my neighbor has offered to be my sponsor, so I'm really excited about that. I've spoken to my husband about all of this, and he stands behind me, yet he's not attending Mass at this point. I'm not giving up hope, however. There could be no greater blessing than joining the church with my husband at my side. Oh boy, I think you now know my whole life story. I've gone on way too long here, so I am going to sign off for now. However, I would be grateful for your thoughts, and I do feel your support. And thank you so much for feeding my spirit weekly. I anticipate your episodes every week or however often that they come along. And thank you for listening. The Lord is using your podcast in a mighty way, Brooke. And I hope that you and Father Nathan know that. I love you both. This is Catherine from Hudson signing off. Have a blessed week. Bye.
Wow, Catherine. First of all, praise God. Thanks be to God. And first and foremost, as you said, seeking the Lord's will in all of this. The best advice that I can give is to just stay close to the Good Shepherd. Stay close to the Lord, and He will lead you to green pastures. Your cup will overflow. I know that. Because where we follow His voice, we follow truth. And even hearing it again, because I've heard that before, I am moved beyond adequate words. And there are so many parts, Catherine, that I want to be able, I wish we were face-to-face to stand and talk about, and as a whole group of listeners, actually, to be able to talk about and respond to. Now, okay, regarding your husband, I know I'm not alone when I say it is absolutely something that I will be lifting up in prayer. I think it's very interesting that when he had that medical procedure and in that time of crisis all these years later, that he claimed the Catholic faith and maybe hasn't since, maybe didn't before that, but at that moment there was a grace and that you saw that. So I pray and lift him up, and I know that it will be in solidarity with everyone, thousands listening, that will lift up your family as well, your husband, your children, you. And I think there are people listening to your story that were meant to hear that, whether it's through their own journey and relating to so much that you said, Catherine, or something they went through that you need to hear. And so I just encourage anyone listening who wants to reach out to Catherine, make a connection, send an email, a comment on Facebook, a Voxer message, anything. And so that we make sure she gets it. I will make sure it's forwarded. Again, you can reach out via Voxer. It's Brooke Taylor in the number one. Although Catherine is on Voxer now too, because that's how she sent it. I hope you don't mind, Catherine. I'm going to look up your name right now and share it, but I'll make sure you approve this first before I publish the episode. So here we go. Let me find Catherine's name. It is Catherine Serdi. I think that's how you say her last name. It's K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. So the typical way you would spell Catherine, the traditional way, and S-Z-E-R-D-Y. That's S-Z-E-R-D-Y. You can Voxer her a message, or you can email feedback@goodthingsradio.com. I will make sure she gets it. Or on Facebook, we have Good Things Radio Facebook page. Leave a comment there. Send me a message, however it is. But I want to encourage you, Catherine, and bless you. And again, so many parts of your story I wish we could unpack, but for now we will just let it rest. And that is the capstone. That's kind of the zenith of the show, and it's really hard to top that. I actually have one more piece. It's a Padre in Your Pocket, but this will be good. And I actually think in a lot of ways it will put an exclamation point on what you just talked about, Catherine. So this particular Padre in Your Pocket is going to transition right into holy water, because when Catherine talked about the church, I know for myself what drew me to the Catholic faith, or drew me back, I guess I should say, as a revert, was the, and there were so many things, but the beauty of the sacramentals, because even when I was far from the church, I would still make the sign of the cross or still relate to a crucifix. And these are the things that help prepare us to receive the fruit of the sacraments that we receive, whether it be the Eucharist or confession, reconciliation, and to sanctify different circumstances of our lives. And since I started my job, I have a holy water bottle right on my workstation. And then when I start work, I make the sign of the cross on my monitor, just a little bit on the top. But I have to say, it's made a difference. And I know a listener friend, Vanessa, she sprinkles it on the sheets as she makes her children's bed. There are so many families that have a holy water font next to their door. So coming in, going, they are blessed, their children are blessed, their guests are blessed. But is it necessary? Why is it important? Father Nathan has that answer in A Padre in Your Pocket.
Padre in Your Pocket. On Good Things Radio.
Buddy, this is Father Nathan with another episode of Padre in Your Pocket. Have you ever wanted to start again? Have you ever felt just kind of dirty and grimy with the actions of the day, the things you've gone through, the people that you've encountered, or just the stresses and the trials of the day? If so, there's a great thing you can do. The use of holy water by Catholics, by Christians, is an incredible, powerful tool to refresh your soul. The idea is very simple. You take something that's physical and that has a physical power. So water does what? Water cleans things, and water gives life to things, and water refreshes things. Okay, so you say physically that's what happens. When I take water and I put it on something, it cleans it, or when I put it in a plant, it gives it life, or when I take a weary soul and I give him a cold glass of water, it refreshes his spirit. And then I say to myself, all right, well, if that's what it does physically, if God created that thing physically with those powers, I'm going to now, by faith, ask God to do those same things with this creature water to my soul. And so we make a prayer called the blessing of holy water, in which the priest says a blessing, asking God to use the physical powers of that water to have a spiritual result in your soul. So it cleans in the sense that when you take that water in faith, and it always has to be done in a spirit of faith, but if you take that water in faith in the name of God and you apply it to your body, it also conveys a grace that cleanses your soul. It takes and wipes away from us the many grimy attachments to sin, consequences of sin, and if used in a spirit of repentance, even our sins. This is why when the priest blesses a person who's sick, for example, in the rite of blessing of someone who's sick, you always use holy water. It's funny, but it's the only time you do that. But when you go to the person's house, you're visiting them who's sick, you say, you first do the act of contrition, and then you sprinkle them with holy water. And that's the idea. It's a cleansing agent for the soul, if received, of course, in faith. The second thing that it does is it gives life. So the waters of baptism gave a life, the life of God, to the soul. Of course, it's faith plus baptism, Mark 16:16, but it's faith plus baptism. And Jesus himself was plunged by John into the Jordan in order to fulfill all righteousness. So the idea there is that God will give us his life through faith, and that faith operating makes use of his creature water. And so when we use holy water, we are given a new burst of life in grace. And then finally, holy water refreshes. It cleanses us from the grime of sin, but it also strengthens us for the battle ahead. It gives us a new burst of life. So we have to always remember, this isn't magic. Magic is actually a mockery of Catholicism. It's the devil's way of confusing people. This is not magic. It's faith that uses the sensible world in order to reach its ends, which are always spiritual. Magic uses the physical world in order to gain a physical end. But this is not a physical end. It's a spiritual end. It's a reviving of my Christian life. In a sense, you could think of using holy water as kind of like getting back in touch with the grace of baptism. So just as I was baptized then, I kind of like re-baptized myself. So I don't re-baptize myself. It's like that. It's like I go back and I touch that power of baptism again. Almost like you could think of it as having a picture of a loved one on your desk at work. And you're going through a tough time in your marriage. Then you look back at that wedding picture and you look at the way he's looking at you. And you look at the way you're looking at him. And you're just kind of like, I love him all over again. Well, that's kind of what using holy water is like for us. You can do what with it? You can use it at church, but you can also fill up holy water bottles or any bottle. Fill it up, take it home. You can buy holy water fonts and put them near your door. What a wonderful thing. On your way out of your doors, you go into the world to renew your faith in Christ by plunging your hand in that holy water well. You can sprinkle your children with holy water before they go to bed, or put a little bit on your thumb and smear it in the sign of the cross on their forehead. Use that water to cleanse. Use that water to give life. Use that water to refresh the soul, because it's a powerful thing. And let's face it, our world today, guys, is full of sacramentals on the other side. You know, if I wanted to sell you something, I would use a sacramental of an image. It's not a sacramental, right? But I'd use an image, and I would try by that image to make you want what I want to sell you. I would use sound. I would bombard you on every side, right? If I wanted to use and move you downward, I wouldn't hesitate to use the physical world. And we're being assaulted all day long in that way. I want to encourage you to fight back. Use the physical world to build yourself up. Use the physical world to grow in your spirituality. How do you do that? That physical world, blessed by a priest, is then used as a spiritual weapon to fight for life and to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ. Holy water is just one, but it's an incredible, powerful, beautiful gift that the church provides for us to remind us of Jesus. God bless you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father Nathan. Another fantastic Padre in Your Pocket segment to think about and to not look at holy water the same. It's a pretty extraordinary sacramental. God bless you. Thank you so much for being a part of episode 66 of Good Things Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And God bless you to every single one of our Podbean patrons. It is because of you this show remains and continues. Even with your prayers, we are so thankful. But to all of our Podbean patrons, it's an easy thing to do if you want to be a part of the program. It's just a little tip jar where you can donate anything from $5 a month to Good Things Radio to $20 a month, and we want to keep it going. So you can do that by going to podbean.com. Just look up Good Things Radio. There's also an app you can download. That's how I listen to the programs and Breadbox Media and different shows like Catherine was referring to. And if you go to podbean.com and find Good Things Radio, look for crowdfunding, and you can become a good friend. There's no amount that's too small. There's no amount that's too large. There's no limit to it. And when you do that, you will get a shout out on the program, and our family prays for every single one of our Podbean patrons. We pray for Ken. We pray for Vanessa. We pray for Chaya. We pray for Georgia, Jenny, and Barb, and Tracy, and Vanessa, and so many of you that we know by heart by now, and we know your stories, and we are so grateful to be connected with you. Thank you for being a part of Good Things Radio. And again, remember YouTube, if you want to follow us there, it's Brooke Taylor and the number 9. And you can reach out anytime at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. A big, huge thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from cominghomestudio.com. He is a producer extraordinaire. He wears many hats. If you have any production needs, reach out. Not only is he fantastic at what he does, but he's a beautiful person as well. cominghomestudio.com. As you prepare for back to school, as we prepare for an election, God have mercy on us all. God keep you and bless you and lift you up in great joy. We'll catch you in a few weeks, friends. Until next time, God bless you.